clear and resounding victory for children, schools, and the California dream. Last night, Californians made the courageous decision to protect our schools and colleges and strengthen the California dream. We joined together as Californians first in a resounding victory for education and fiscal integrity. The people of California have put their trust in a bold path forward, and I intend to do everything in my power to honor that trust. Many people said you shouldn't go to the people and get their views in a statewide vote about whether or not to raise taxes. I made a pledge when I ran for governor 2 years ago that I would, number one, tell the truth, no more smoke and mirrors on the budget, level with people, seek a vote of the people before any new taxes, and thirdly, bring government closer to the people. Well, last night, that path forward vindicated my confidence that the people of California can make very sound judgments. It's in the context of tens of thousands of fewer teachers, massive cuts in public education, thousands of courses in community colleges eliminated, redevelopment eliminated, cutbacks. There's been a real effort at paring back state government, even to the point of cutting the average worker 5% this year. So in that context of $3 in cuts, I see why people voted for a dollar in additional revenue. It's a balanced plan, it's sustainable, and I intend to do whatever I can in the next 2 years to make sure we meet the high expectations that the majority of Californians express.
Governor, can you answer for voters who might be wondering what their vote meant for Prop 30? What better will they see today? I mean, I know we had the possibility of the cuts, but schools, do they get to restore something? Some of them were conservative in their budgeting. What would you tell people?
I would tell people that instead of the state borrowing hat in hand from our school districts, which reached $9 billion, we're going to stop all that. We're going to have enough money to fund the schools as our Constitution requires. So we're not going to see the $5.5 billion of cutbacks to kindergarten through 12. We're not going to see the big cutbacks in higher education. And going forward, we're going to see about $2,500 per student going into our schools in California over the next 4 to 5 years.
They'll see more.
So Governor,
this is not instant coffee here. This takes time and effort, but over the next few years, we're on a correct glide path, and the rating agencies have already begun to put out their own commentary on how California is now on a stable path.
Your calculation priorities, why make education the thing that would have been targeted in the first place? Why not say, look, that $5 billion...
Why not prisons?
Prisons.
Because we've already cut 30,000 plus, and probably cut more from the prisons. We already got rid of redevelopment. We already took down pensions for the elderly and the disabled. We already took down CalWORKs. We reduced from 4 years to 2 years the amount of time you can stay on welfare without complying with work requirements. The point is, I know people forget two things: the massive cuts that California has made, and the fact that taxes were higher just 2 years ago. The sales tax was 1 cent higher. Now it's going to go up a quarter of a cent. So I want people to understand, because it's a distant government, it's a complex government. We're cutting, and now we have more revenue, but that revenue will be used prudently and judiciously. And I don't underestimate the struggle over the next couple of years to keep on a very calm, clear, and sustainable glide path.
What is that?
How do you assure that voters that this money will go to what you intended to do? And will this money be in addition to the money from Prop 39? Is that 40% from Prop 39 going to also go to schools, or how are you going to work that into the equation?
Well, Prop 39 will go where it's intended. It has a measure there. It's aiming at alternative energy. It does have funding that will go into the state budget, and we'll deal with it in a proper way. I mean, this is a big budget here. It's over $140 billion to take all funds. General fund is $90 billion plus. That's the big banana. We got to make sure we do it right. The money that came in for Prop 30 will go into the education trust fund, and the money will be used for schools, just like we said.
With the way Prop 30 and Prop 32 went, the Assembly and the Senate, will this embolden Democrats to push their agenda forward, moving forward?
Well, I just, in preparing myself for that question, I reviewed the first book of the Bible in Genesis, Joseph and the Pharaoh. And Joseph and the Pharaoh had this dream about these lean cows and these fat cows. And he didn't understand what it meant, so he summoned Joseph, obviously a prisoner at the time. And Joseph explained to him, there's going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. So when those 7 years of plenty come about, you have to save all the crops and put them in the granaries so that when the famine comes, you're ready. And 7 years later, that's what happened. And if you look back, we have periods where money flows in, and then we have periods where there's not enough money. We need the prudence of Joseph going forward over the next 7 years, and I intend to make sure that that's the story that we look to for our guidance.
Governor, so federal days are gone. Not to
teachers,
raise taxes,
can you assure federal days are gone, and can you rehire teachers?
Hey, guys, let's raise our hands. We can't shout over each other.
Are federal days gone?
Are
federal days for teachers and districts?
And can you
rehire teachers as a result of what happened?
Look, there's 6 million kids, there's 300,000 teachers, over 1,000 school districts. They're going to make a lot of decisions. The good news is the state has been reaching into the pocket of school districts to take money out because it couldn't pay its bills. That day is over. We are now living within our means because of the cuts and because of Prop 30. And that money will pay down debt, and then with the economic recovery, we'll create more and more money per child into the classroom. That will mean, I think, teachers will be rehired.
Governor, could you talk about what this means in terms of what the voters said in improving the tax increase? And is this a revolt against the tax revolt of 1978?
Well, remember, this is something around 54%. So, like everywhere else in the world, there's division. And you don't want to overread whatever voters say. But certainly, given the massive opposition and skepticism about whether or not the state government of California can handle any more money, I see this as a vote of confidence, at least a vote of confidence with certainly some reservations because it's a temporary tax. And I think the real lesson here is the voters have trusted the elected representative, maybe even trusted me to some extent, and now we've got to meet that trust. And we have to make sure over the next few years that we pay our bills, we invest in the right programs, but we don't go in spending binges like we did in the days where you had the dot-com boom and then the bust and then the mortgage boom and the mortgage bust.
Speaking of which, the Democrats are going to probably take a supermajority in both houses, and does that open up that opportunity for...
Well, I always like to think with greater power comes greater responsibility.
Were you nervous last night before the results from Southern California started coming in?
What?
Were you nervous last night when the early
negative
before Southern California?
I think this measure has always enjoyed more support than the opposition. And that's been true from day one, and some people begin to read tea leaves incorrectly. And then you all go off, like a herd of buffalo down the road. We're now back on the plane of common sense. But in the next few months, we can have a relationship together.
Governor, with Prop 30 passed, how interested are you in tax reform or changing the way taxes are administered in California as a priority for 2013?
How they're administered?
Yeah, or well, reform in general.
It is always an idea that will be discussed. But anytime you tax people who have never been taxed before, you're climbing a very tall mountain. Just to increase taxes that have been around, for 50 or 60 years, that's difficult enough. But when you begin to come up with new ideas, however theoretically pleasing, it becomes quite challenging. So my door will always be open to people who have a better idea. But I was pleased to see that in the Standard & Poor's letter this morning, they felt that even though there's volatility in the income tax, because it's temporary, we should be able to manage it.
On that,
yes.
Do you see this victory as a mandate for you personally and for your policies for the next 2 years?
There's two things I'm very skeptical about. One is mandates, and the other is legacies. So I'm just going to carry on in the way that...
Governor, the supermajority means that not only can Democrats potentially raise taxes, they can also override your vetoes. Did the balance of power switch swift more to the legislative branch? Did you lose some of your power last night?
No, I think just the opposite. But I do know I have more experience with veto overrides than any other
government. You have a great name for your own party. You keep talking about judicious and prudent spending. Is that message aimed at Democrats?
Look, in this campaign, over the last few months, particularly on Proposition 30, there was a lot of collaboration, both with the Assembly and with the State Senate. John Perez and Carol Steinberg were very good allies. I think our relationship has deepened, and I'm looking forward, with great optimism to the months ahead. That doesn't mean there aren't differences. We have a separation of powers. There's a legislative branch, judicial, and executive. So that's the way the check and the balances work. But I would say that my relationships with the legislature, I think, is certainly better than they've ever been in my 10 years.
Are you going to use the supermajority to raise more taxes?
No, I have already said the only way to raise a tax is to ask the people.
So if they pass a tax, you'll veto it?
Well, we're not into the threat game here. This is a time of celebration and drawing lines in the sand.
Is that a yes or a no?
That's a statement of the case. Well, if we have enough money, if we spend it wisely to get from here to the next election.
Well, Joe, the supermajority, can you share with us what is on your agenda you would maybe want to push through now that you have both houses that are in agreement?
Well, I'd say I can think of five. One, we're going to calibrate our regulations to ensure that they encourage jobs as well as protect other aspects of the public interest, like the environment, health, and good working conditions. A lot of concern, do we have the right rules in place? Are they retarding investment and job creation? On the other hand, these rules are generally aimed at health or the environment or strong working conditions. So that's an area that I intend to work with the legislature. Water, so a lot to do in securing water reliability, and I intend to give my full attention to that. We have the high-speed rail going forward. There's a lot to be there, and with President Obama being reelected, that path will be even clearer. And in education, there's money, but there's always issues about evaluation, about testing, about standards, about the role that the teacher has, the principal has, the school district has, and the state of California has. And I believe in the principle of subsidiarity, that we want to give maximum but thoughtful authority to the lowest level, which is the teacher, and then working up to the school district. So there's room for changes in our education framework. And finally, the budget. The budget is always, I'll be presenting a budget in January, and it's going to be a solid budget, a sustainable budget, but that takes effort too, because there are all lots of different decisions, and desires are endless. And I have to say that when I was doing Zen meditation in Japan back in the late 80s, each night before going to bed, I would say with the other meditators, desires are endless. I vow to cut them down. So that will be part of my spirit.
Governor, before you get too far off the tax issue, just to clarify, I want to make sure we get the right message to the legislators and the public. You've always said no tax increase without a vote of the people.
Correct.
You were asked, if you were presented with a tax increase, what would you do? But as you've said, there are systemic problems like the VLF that were changed through the years. There are things the legislature could change.
There are things. And there's always this tax reform business. Some overall tax reform, I'm not going to rule anything out in that reform, but I'm just saying, if you want an increase of taxes, you have to ask the people.
Governor, on the S&P report, it said that California's finances are expected to improve.
but also there's more to be done to stabilize the California budget. What do you see as some things that could be done to stabilize?
Well, you know what? I would wait until I present my budget. I'll take several weeks on working at that.
Can you talk more
about
this?
The work is never done. I mean, there's this idea that government is about, you know, it's a problem and you solve it. No, life is a condition, and you deal with it every day or every month, and we will always have issues between the money we have and what we do with it. And because of the kind of system and because of human nature, the desires will always outrun the available money. And it becomes the job, and that's why we have a governor. And you have a machine that tends to get overheated or speed up, and the governor is a mechanism to slow it down as it attempts to speed up. And I will take that mechanical metaphor, think about it as I make the budget.
Governor, what role do you see legislative Republicans playing going forward, given that they've lost likely any ability to affect policy?
Well, I'm certainly going to solicit their advice. I mean, the fact is that Republicans have fallen into some doctrinaire cul-de-sacs. And just listening on the, I even heard the great Mike Murphy saying that they're going to have to do a reset. So I think that they might listen to him. But, you know, we do have, there are issues. The workers' compensation, the Republicans and Democrats got together. What is needed is the constituents out there, the Farm Bureau, the Chamber, organized labor, environmentalists. Those forces constitute the power grid of Sacramento. And I will work with all those forces to achieve the goals that I've set forth.
Governor,
and I certainly include the Republicans.
Governor, so again, this should not be looked upon by the voters as a cure-all.
No, there are no cure-all.
None whatsoever.
Well, what's a cure-all? They're all temporary, right? In the end, you know what happens.
If I may, do you fear, as some people predict, that there will be an exodus of the wealthy, say, the hell with your taxes, I'm out of here?
The Stanford study shows very clearly that high-paying individuals have more to fear from their spouse than they do from the state of California. And most of them, when they do leave because they just go through a nasty divorce. And so I would say, if you all work on the relationships, we'll take care of spending their money wisely.
Governor, Prop 13 is the thing that everyone says is the beginning of California's problems. You've said you don't like it, you'd like to see it go. Is this your opportunity?
Look,
is that
I might say that the gold rush was the beginning of our problems. Maybe it was Juan Cabrillo.
No doubt, but it got worse with Prop 13.
I think this idea, the beginning of our problems, I think you might want to go back to Genesis to kind of get the beginning of our problems.
Are you sidestepping this question?
What?
Last question.
What is Mr. Do you have another question?
Some of your supporters are important, understandably, by the results yesterday. So even if you don't go to the legislature for a tax increase, they're already thinking about going to the people again for more revenue.
I think we ought to that's worrying about what's way over the distant horizon. We have plenty of challenges to get a budget, then to get through the budget in time for the legislative deadline. Then we have all these other issues. We have water, we have education, we have there's a lot of concern about regulation. Highly divided in how people see it. So I think there'll be plenty on the agenda for the executive and the legislative branch to work on.
Could you go back to the campaign?
And I would hope the Republicans would come in and discuss things.
Would you go back to the campaign for 1 second and talk about what that $11 million donation did for the campaign? I mean, was it in essence a boost for you? I mean, it was an issue you could grab onto?
I think the key to the election was the temporary tax for education after years of cutbacks in education and other government services. The context was there for a sympathetic consideration of a tax proposal. And the one that ultimately emerged as my plan C had the right elements that commended. And I also think the campaign was was good. The work of schools and universities and all those constituencies, that helped. The political leadership of the Democratic Party helped. I think everything came together. So it's not a formula that you might be able to repeat. That's why I think we ought to be grateful. And I am grateful for the people of California voting yes on the third vote. But I want to stick, on the hand on the tiller. I'm looking for the right metaphor. Put your shoulder to the plow. That's what I'm saying. Shoulder to the plow. I went up to my land, west of Williams, and I hiked on the very hilltops that my great-grandfather did just shortly after the gold rush. And I like to reflect on how tough it was then, what they faced, and what we have to do now. It's really not as difficult, so we should be able to make California even better.
Governor, speaking of constituencies, how much of a role did the college student population play? And you went to a lot of universities and talked to them. How much of a role do you think they played in passing?
They were very important because all the online registration. There's a lot of young people that came on through online registration, and that was certainly activated on all the college campuses. And they had a big stake in this.
Governor, in your long political career, where does this rank as a victory for you?
Most exciting election for me was when I was elected to the Community College Board of Los Angeles.
But I mean,
that's very exciting.
But you stayed your governorship, and there were a lot of people said you.
I wasn't thinking of it that way. I basically had no other choice forward. So there were a lot of ways to interpret what the implications are. But I tried to extend the taxes. Actually, I tried to have a tax measure that was more onerous in a less sympathetic electorate a year ago. But luckily, the Republicans saved us and pushed us into a presidential election when there are far more favorable voters to be had.
Well, is the implication now that you're going to run for re-election?
I was thinking about that this morning, too, and I think we should just wait on that. We have a lot to do. We have 2 years. I think it would be highly premature. It's like thinking about all these other things, the two-thirds vote. There's a lot of stuff down the road. It was a real win last night. It was a win for the people of California. And now let's take that win and not grab defeat for the jaws of victory, but use it to go forward and represent the people of California.
So, Governor, people have spoken on this issue, but there are plenty of people who, of course, voted against this, who just don't want to pay taxes no matter
millions.
What.
Yeah.
There were a few, I think. What can you say to those people now, today, to make them sleep better at night tonight?
I just made my commitment. I'm going to try to spend this money wisely. We're going to make sure that our schools return to their greatness of former days, that our university continues, not just as the engine of growth, but a seed of creativity and imagination, all of which undergird what California is.
Governor, as we talked, there are a lot of doubts about the campaign. When you left the Sheraton last night, how did you feel? What did you do when you left the hotel?
When I left the hotel, I think I went home. Well, I anticipated this. So, at least, what can I say?
Did it feel like a vindication?
Well, I don't like to make it in those personal terms. It was a good campaign. We had a good idea for the times. And I can't say too much about the fact what the cuts did. So if there were no cuts in schools, and there were no cutbacks in university, and there were no tuition increases, and there were no elimination of redevelopment, we wouldn't be where we are today. So the fact is, state government has made cuts. Now, a lot of people voted no are not aware of the cuts, just like they're not aware of the fact that California eliminated, or was automatically eliminated, this tax. We had a tax that if the old Schwarzenegger tax was in effect, it would be $14 billion higher this year. And in many respects, this tax is a substitute for the car tax that cost the state $6 billion when you rebate to the locals, and the other tax, the single sales factor. So if you look at some of the other loopholes. So what we've done, we've plugged structural holes that were actually created before. And I know we're getting to be less property tax and car tax were not as volatile, but you got to take the world as you find it. And if you look out there at the electorate, they're very disinclined towards some of these more stable taxes, because stable taxes have more of a regressive than a progressive feature. And there's a lot of theory, because I spent a lot of time talking to Arthur Laffer about it, about the evils of progressive taxation, which were really brought to the fore under Roosevelt. But taxation needs to be fair, it needs to be easily administered, it needs to be clear, and it does need to be stable. So we achieve a lot of those goals, but not all of them. But luckily, it's a 7-year program, and by the end of that 7 years, it'll be my goal to make sure the state is in such fiscal health that we can keep gliding into the future without having to go back to the well for more taxes.
Did you comment on Prop 32, Governor? You came out against that.
Yes,
what message do you take about what voters think about the power of the
I think some, if I could give some advice to some very conservative people, they see through a filter and they see only the negative aspects of union organizing. The fact is, average people, not the powerful and not the wealthy, feel the benefit of having an advocate in their corner. And while all sides, all parties, all people have flaws, when you try to emasculate an institution that does protect the less powerful, you're carrying a very heavy burden. And even though many powerful people think they can do that, they failed now 3 times. And the ability of dues checkoff is very much part of the First Amendment, freedom of association, coming together to advance a collective goal. And that effort to cut that off was hypocritical. And the way they kind of framed it, I think helped sink it. And that level of I'm going to put it charitably, lack of candor was mirrored in the other group, which called themselves small business, but they're taking huge amounts of money from people who are not small business, and then they say they're for transparency and they're for concealment. So I think there was a vote last night for common sense and a certain amount of straightforward, this is the way it is, let's be practical. And like them or not, unions have advanced middle class standards all across America for the last 75 years, and I think some of the conservatives ought to come back and appreciate that, just as previous Republican presidents and Republican governors like Earl Warren did in his past. I think I'll stop.
Any message to Molly Munger?
No, I have no message.
Governor, you were saying
more
that...
messages. That's why now I'm just going to keep these cards when people say, what's next? I just hand out my Sutter Brown.
How much do you credit Sutter with the win? How much do you credit Sutter with the win?
I think three calculus.
Yeah.